journey into a world that is just beyond our comprehension. The world of the paranormal.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 18 of the 13 Skulls podcast. I'm TJ, coming to you from Cowtown, Fort Worth, Texas. And today we got a lot of really good, interesting stuff to cover. We're going to be taking a look at a video of an alien in a home, the Pioneer Anomaly, a pyramid UFO in Texas, and a gas giant that could destroy Earth. All coming up in this 18th episode of the 13 Skulls podcast. Alright, well, thanks everybody for joining me today. Sorry it's been so long since the show's come out. Just been extremely busy. I know there's no excuse for it, but again, it's just hectic. Life is busy. You know how it goes. It seems like I'm on one of those, you know, those moving sidewalks in the airport. Well, I feel like I'm on one of those, only going backwards. It's like at the end of this hallway, there stands the mic and the computer for me to get on and record my show. The floor is moving beneath me in the opposite direction, so I'm trying to run to get to the mic, but the floor seems to keep moving faster and faster, and the mic just keeps going away. But eventually I get to it, and I record something, and then the floor keeps moving, and I can't keep up, so I gotta, you know, it pulls me away from it. So I just got a lot of things pulling me in a different direction, so my apologies again for not being able to get the show out too often. But anyway, let's move on and get the formalities buried. Let's get them in the dirt and out of the way. If you like the show and you want to shoot me an email, the email is the13skulls@gmail.com, or you can give the show a call on either one of the phone lines. They are 206-338-2205. Locally here in the DFW area is 817-986-0019. If you want to, I would appreciate it because I love this stuff. I love to know where people are listening to the show from. So if you want, please sign the Frapper map. I would love to know where people are listening to the show from. I find it just fascinating to know that they're all over the place. They're everywhere from Australia to England to Norway to Canada and Mexico and South America, and all, they're all over the place, all over the United States. They're everywhere. But if you want Sign the Frapper map, there's a link to it on the left sidebar of the 13skulls.com. If you really like the show and you want to get more people, you know, into listening to the show, go to iTunes and give it a review. You can find it on there. Just search the 13 Skulls. You'll find it. Give us a review on iTunes. I'd really appreciate that. And if you like the show again and you feel so inclined that you want to do it, give us a vote on Podcast Alley. I would really appreciate that. But anyway, it's up to you. You guys do whatever you want. I'll quit blabbering and we'll get on with the show. Okay, this first article that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of SupernaturalParanormal.com. And it's an alien creature in home video. And basically, there's not really too much to it. The little article, if that's what you want to call it, says middle-aged Florida couple plagued by abductions and home intrusions by UFO alien creatures captured one such invasion on video. And the images that you'll see are taken from the home video. And I'll provide a link up to where the video is so you can go and watch it. But for those of you who don't get a chance to go watch it, I'll tell you right now exactly what's in the video. Basically, what you're going to see is it looks like some kind of a surveillance camera or a webcam from a computer or something along those lines is, say, in the, I don't know, let's say you're looking at a room from the right corner. And you can see the wall going up to the, on the right, all the way up to the other corner of the wall. And you're kind of in the bottom right corner if you were looking at a square. And anyway, you see a mattress on the ground. You see what looks like somebody laying on the mattress. And you see other stuff in the room. And in the back opposite corner of where you're at, so the back left corner, you'll see a door with a light coming out of it. And you see this little image start to poke around the corner. It looks just like an alien. It's kind of tall and lanky and kind of, grayish, brownish kind of skin. It's got long arms and long legs and real lanky, like you would think of an alien, like a gray or something along those lines. But, you know, I mean, I was a little skeptical whenever I saw this video because it looks like somebody could be in the room behind it, like holding a puppet, that type of thing, and holding it out there. But anyway, it's an interesting video. If you want, go check it out. I'll provide a link to it in the show notes.
Are you a gamer? Are you sick of the same old podcasts that only talk about one game? Then join Doomcast. At Doomcast, it doesn't matter if you're a casual gamer or a hardcore gamer. Doomcast has something for you. The show also covers a wide variety of topics in entertainment industries such as film, television, and even other podcasts. For more information, please visit the official Doomcast website at www.doomcastonline.com.
All right, well, the next thing that I wanted to tell you about real quick was an email that I got from my nephew, Colin. And Colin, if you're listening, bud, hey, I love you. Here's your story, the one that you sent to me. Now, for everybody out there, I have a 13-year-old nephew. His name is Colin, and he loves the paranormal just like me. And he sent me in some little short stories that I wanted to tell you guys about stuff that he's experienced and you know, his cousin, which I guess would be, I'm not really sure how that would work. My nephew's cousin, however that is. Anyway, says, on my other side of the family, his dad or my brother-in-law, I had a second cousin named Stephen who died when I was around 7 years old. And I did hear that story. I remember him dying. It was a sad time. I remember hearing about that. But I want to believe, I think it was from Tourette's, but I'm not really exactly sure. Anyway, so he says, my cousin Christian was at his house and his mom's boyfriend's was trying to go to sleep, but he kept waking up panting. And at one point he woke up and went, Kim, can you tell Stephen to stop waking me up? Evidently, when he closed his eyes, he would see a dark shadow surrounded by light, which is weird, but that's not the only story. Kim was taking laundry downstairs and was about to pick up some shoes that were perched at the top of the stairs, when they started moving down the stairs by themselves, almost as if they were walking. She brought the shoes back up and asked Logan, the other cousin, to come and watch, and the shoes did it again. After they went down, Logan said, aren't those Steven's shoes? So would it be that Steven was walking his shoes down the steps. I mean, maybe he is there with them. You never know. I mean, it would be interesting to be able to have gotten some kind of like thermal imaging on that to see if there was anything there, or to get some night, like some infrared video, or even have a recorder there to be able to record, ask some questions to see if he really was there. But anyway, that's still not all. It says, we found a recording of Al, Kim's boyfriend, who kept waking up snoring on Kim's phone. But the recording was taken at like 5 in the morning, so they had no clue who would have been there to be able to take it. So that is weird. If his phone is recording him snoring at 5 o'clock in the morning on her cell phone, that's really strange. Just the simple fact that, at least with the phone that I have, which, let me look at it real quick. It's a LG phone. And I know that in order to be able to take recordings with it, to be able to record something with it, you have to go into a couple of different settings and a couple of different places to be able to get it to work. You just don't have a button on there for it to start recording. It's really strange to know that it was recording him that early in the morning. I mean, it could have been a glitch in the phone. But if it was doing it more than one time, that's pretty strange. And anyway, he says, and now my story. I was at their house and the DVD player kept turning itself off and on. No one was anywhere near the remotes. They have only had the TV for like 3 years, so either the TV is crapping out or some freaky crap has happened at their house. And that is true. They obviously have something going on there if they have that much activity. I mean, maybe there is something going on there. I mean, I think it would be really interesting to sit back one night and try and, you know, maybe investigate it a little bit to see what all is going on there. But to know that they had shoes going up and down the stairs, they had a dark figure surrounded by light running around that was obviously bright enough for him to be able to see with his eyes closed. But he's also got this recording of the cell phone of the guy snoring and having the DVD player turn off and on. Now, I know I've had a lot of instances where my TV would turn off and on, but I don't know. It's a little strange. It's a little bit weird. Now the whole thing about the shadow in it, you know, when he had his eyes closed, that's interesting. I mean, it could have been light trick somehow playing with his eyes and, you know, him not knowing what he was seeing. But regardless, that's a really wild story, Colin. Thanks for sending those in. But if you got any more, send them all in. Give me a call, shoot me an email, something like that. I'd love to hear more of it. Anyway, love you, Colin. We'll talk to you later, bud. All right, well, the next article that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of thisisgloucestershire.co.uk. It's a really interesting article. It says, is this a picture of a Tewkesbury ghost? And let me go ahead and read some of the article for you real quick. It's not very long. It says, Anne Martin never used to believe in ghosts until her son took this spooky picture at Tewkesbury Rugby Club. 12-year-old Jordan Sanders appears to have captured an apparition of a young woman with dark hair. The image is to the right of the couple on the dance floor at the Gander Lane Club. It says, perhaps it was just the way the light from the DJ spotlight was shining, but Anne from Northway thinks it might be something spiritual. She said, it was quite a shock when I saw the picture. It's pretty clear to me and it looks so real. Jordan is quite excited about it. It's a bit weird. Says the picture was taken at the wedding of Nigel and Helen Davis and has raised the question of whether the club is haunted or not. Club official Kev Watkins says it was possible, as a few strange things had happened over the years. He said he was working alone at the club recently when he had a strange sense that someone was behind him, but when he turned around, there was nobody there. The picture, just for some of you guys, you know, go take a look at it. You'll see the picture for yourself. You can tell where the figure is. It's pretty blatant. It's right there in your face. But for those of you who don't have time to go check it out, the picture basically is like in a ballroom. You got like the wall with the pictures on the side and the lights up on the top and the spotlights going in a couple of different directions. And you have the little wooden floor up in the front so people can dance around. And obviously you got tables and stuff. So it's like at a, you know, what they say, a wedding reception. But anyway, at the wedding of these two people, but you'll see a couple of people dancing around the floor and on this little hardwood floor up the front. You see a guy or a woman, somebody off into the background, and you'll see where the orangish colored lights are coming down, you know, the spotlights. One's going up towards the ceiling and one's going down to the floor. And the spotlight itself is maybe a foot or so to the right of where these people are standing, dancing around. And you'll see the image of what looks to be a woman with dark hair, like an arm sticking up. My first impression was that it almost looked like someone staring at the camera like they're holding a cigarette with their hand kind of flayed back upside down with their arm bent up like it's up near their chest, but it's kind of held back like they're holding it out. But anyway, it's an interesting picture. It does kind of look like her hair is coming over her face with dark eyes, almost like she's wearing something white, but it's the same color as the spotlight itself. Like it's shining the light through it. It's really weird. You guys go take a look at it. I'll post a link to it. And if you got any opinions or anything like that, you know, maybe it's been photoshopped, who knows? But you know, I mean, it's kind of a good picture, but you know, I'd like to see the negatives or the actual digital camera it was taken with to see it on the memory card. But anyway, like I said, if you guys got any opinions on it, let me know what you think. All right, well, the next thing that I wanted to take a look at real quick is something that I just thought was absolutely just fascinating. It's courtesy of dvice.com. That's the letter D and then V-I-C-E.com. And it's called an alien mouse. It says, aching wrist, alien mouse is full of extraterrestrial ideas. It says, if you have carpal tunnel syndrome, are you going to trust Microsoft to ease your pain? Heck no. It's time to call for some otherworldly assistance with the alien mouse. And it's a computer mouse, but it's one of the weirdest, strangest things you'll ever lay your eyes on. Now, whether or not it's a real device, I don't know. I mean, this website is powered by sci-fi, so maybe it's not, maybe it is, I don't know. I haven't seen any real advertisements to where you can go buy it, but it's still pretty wild to say the least. It says, designer Mizunori Raman considered every angle in his mouse design, supporting the arm as well as the wrist and giving the user lots of adjustability for a custom fit. He's even put a vibrator underneath the mouse's main element, certain to give your wrist muscles the heebie-jeebies if it doesn't relax them first. He finishes off the design with a special finger joystick up top and ambient mood lighting glowing underneath. Sounds more like a bachelorette party than a pointing device. Well, it is, I don't know about a bachelorette party, but I don't know. But anyway, it's an interesting piece of equipment. I'll provide a link to it so you guys can go take a look at it. But again, for those of you who can't, it's basically made up of four main pieces in a row. They're all round. One of them's big in the middle. It's got these weird horn-like projections off to the side, which I have no clue. I guess they're more for design than really functionality. I don't really see where they really do any good, but it's a wild-looking mouse. I mean, it looks like absolutely nothing that you have ever seen before considered to be a mouse. It really is an alien mouse. It looks like what an alien would use as a mouse. It's pretty wild, but anyway, you guys go take a look at it. It's really wild. It comes in a couple of different colors. It looks like purple, gray, black, red, blue. It's a wild piece of equipment. So go take a look at it, and you know, if anybody's got one, let me know. I'd love to know how it works. All right, the next thing I want to talk about is courtesy of ThaiIndian.com. And it's UFO experts demand probe into little green man sightings in London. And this article was posted on August 29th, and it says UFO experts in Britain are demanding that the claims of little green man sightings this summer be investigated. Exclusive pictures of white and green lights were clicked while they were hovering over a 24-hour Tesco store in Croydon in South London in April. Onlookers say that the lights appeared with the slogan, "Every little helps." Why would aliens have a "every little help" slogan like a Goodyear blimp has the scrolling marquee on the side? I wonder if it was like that. Sorry, I couldn't resist. It says it was the most beautiful green-white light, moving fast but then stopping. It had to be mechanical like a spaceship because it slowed down and stopped. And it wasn't making any noise and it disappeared in a flash. Now, this is all from the guy who wrote this article, I'm guessing, because it's written in first person. It says, I went home and told my girlfriend. She didn't believe me, but the pictures speak for themselves. It says, I don't touch drugs. I'm not a believer in UFOs, but I've got no idea what this was. The pictures were examined by UFO expert Nick Pope, who worked in the Ministry of Defense. Green lights are unusual. It rules out so-called Chinese lanterns that accounted for some recent UFO sightings in the UK, and demanding that further attention be paid to the UFO sightings. Given the sheer number of sightings we've seen this summer and unprecedented number of photos and videos, it's time for a full public inquiry. World-renowned UFO researcher Timothy Good said that the Tesco sighting could not be explained. The pictures are interesting. It is a mystery. Someone should look into these pictures further, he said. So I'm guessing that's Timothy Good. A Tesco spokesman said that no sightings have been reported. So, I mean, you got conflicting reports. I mean, I couldn't tell you what it is, but if anybody's got any more info on the Green Man sightings in London, let me know. I mean, first of all, I don't see how they can consider it to be a green man, because I don't really see anything in here where they said they saw a little green man of any kind. I know they said that they saw green lights, but for the fact that it said every little helps in a, like a slogan, like it had some kind of scrolling marquee on it that said, you know, we're here, look, but, you know, every little helps, you know, throw in 10 cents, give to charity, whatever. I don't know. It's a little weird, but anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there for a little bit of amusement.
Hey, this is the Paranormal Cafe out of Westchester, Pennsylvania. You can listen to us at paranormalcafe.podomatic.com. And you are listening to the 13 Skulls podcast at the13skulls.com.
All right, well, the next thing I wanted to talk about is courtesy of thunderbolts.info. And scientists have found a small but significant deceleration in the Pioneer spacecraft as it makes its way through interstellar space. And they're wondering what could be slowing it down. For the last 3 years, NASA analysts have reported a slow but steady tug on the Pioneer 10 and 11 spacecraft as they head outward in opposite directions from the sun. Based on the gravity-only model of the universe under which observational research is constrained, the research team has no explanation for what has been termed the Pioneer anomaly. Pioneer 10 was launched from Cape Canaveral on March 2, 1972 on a primary flyby mission to Jupiter. Pioneer 11 was launched April 5, 1973 on a similar mission, except that it was sent in the opposite direction to the sun's motion through the galaxy. Says the effect that concerns NASA scientists is the distant calculations for both probes. Each appears to be off course by several hundred thousand kilometers and no one can quite figure out why. Suggestions for the cause of the observed deceleration have been illuminating, and so far they've come up with these. Dark matter is acting like a friction medium, creating drag. Multidimensional space is acting on the probes in ways that are not understood. Gravity is not behaving as theories suggest it should behave. Dark energy is being observed in its anti-gravitational activity, and a new hypothesis called quantum kinetics theorizes that subatomic forces are acting on the probes in unexpected and undetectable ways. According to our current understanding of gravity, over the last 34 years, both Pioneer 10 and 11 should have traveled more than 400,000 kilometers further than they actually have. As NASA investigator Slava Turishev states, this inability to explain the anomalous acceleration of the Pioneer spacecraft with conventional physics has contributed to the growing discussion about its origin. All right, well, I thought it was really interesting that something would be slowing these spacecraft down out there. I mean, maybe they just didn't accommodate for the fact that there's gonna be some kind of resistance out there. You never know what it could be running through. I mean, maybe there's something out there, like some kind of a dust thing or something out there that would be causing some kind of a drag on it, obviously. Well, I just think it's funny that they don't know what it is. I mean, they can come up with all these theories about the universe, but they can't figure out exactly what it is. They have a lot of theories, a lot of good theories. I mean, gravity not behaving the way it is, dark matter not, you know, behaving the way it should or acting like a friction medium. I mean, they don't even know what dark matter is. I mean, they do have their ideas about what dark matter is, but I don't think they know for sure. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they do know for sure. I'm not 100% positive. I'm not a scientist. I don't really know. I just thought that this was an interesting article to know that they're slowing down, and then nobody knows why. All right, well, the next thing I wanted to talk about real quick. It's the UFOChronicles.com, and they have an article about a rare phenomenon reported on June 6th, 1797. It's a clipping of an article that was posted on December 10th, 1894 by Daily Nor'wester. And it's basically is this. Let me go ahead and read it for you. The title of the article clipping says, Three Suns in an Inverted Rainbow. It says, the following is taken literally word for word from a rare copy of the Brighton, in England, Advertiser of June 6, 1797. A rare phenomenon is reported from St. Malo, recently between the hours of 4 and 5. Three perfect suns were all seen in a row above the western horizon. The sky was very clear at the time, and there was no one who saw the unusual sight that believes it to have been a mirage or other atmospheric illusion. The central light seemed more brilliant than the two luminous attendants, and between the three there seemed to be some kind of a communication in a shape of waves of light composed of all the prismatic colors. At about the same time, a rainbow made its appearance at a short distance above the central sun, upside down. That is to say, the two ends pointed toward the zenith and the bow's heel toward the horizon. It's not a very big article. It's not very long. You guys can go take a look at it yourself. They actually show a picture of the clipping of the article. That's what I'm reading from, so it seemed like it was kind of choppy there. I apologize, but I just thought it was weird that they would see something like that and they would describe it as a sun. Is it like a what do they call them, a sun dog or something like that, where it kind of looks like a second sun off to the side? I mean, do you think maybe it's something that they saw kind of like that? I mean, it didn't really say anything that they were moving around too much or anything like that. They just said that they saw these lights. So maybe it's something like that. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that it happened in 1797. It's 211 years ago. It's a long time. So anyway, if you guys want to go take a look at the article, I will provide a link to it so you can go take a look at it and let me know what you think.
They tap into your bloodstream like tiny little vampires. They hack into your nervous system like you were a walking computer network built just for them. They flood your body with chemicals that cause fear, paranoia, and psychotic rage. It's a disease that thinks. It's a disease that talks. And if you're lucky, you die before it becomes a disease that walks. On April Fool's Day, experience the horror thriller novel Infected, the major hardcover release from number one bestselling author Scott Sigler, creator of the free podcast novels Earthcore, Ancestor, and Nocturnal. Available April 1st, online and in bookstores everywhere. Free audio chapters of Infected are available at scottsigler.com and infectednovel.com. The disease kills you slowly if the cure doesn't kill you first.
All right, now the next article I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of UFOarea.com, and it's a triangular-shaped UFO or pyramid-shaped UFO photographed over Texas. Says, now this is from UFOarea.com, and they're saying, our reader, Eric from Texas, shared his photograph of a pyramid-shaped unidentified flying object seen over Lamarque, it's L-A-M-A-R-Q-U-E. And Eric also wrote along with his picture and said, the picture was taken with a BlackBerry 8100 series camera phone. This picture was supposed to be of the sun rays coming out of the clouds in the distance on 8/15/08. But after it was taken, we looked at what was in the picture, and we noticed several strange-looking UFOs in it. There were no planes or jets that could have been seen or heard in the area at the time the photo was taken. It says, the UFO that was closest in the pic resembles some kind of triangle-shaped UFO with what looks like a tail. The others, as you can tell in the distance, are the same, but still are they're hard to see, but they're still very noticeable. Let's see, it says, the sides appear to be a metallic silver in color with a square bottom in the shape of the object. There also appears to be some sort of antennas out the side of the object that can be seen. Now, just at first glance, you'll see a couple of blown-up images of the UFO itself, and you'll see the whole entire photo, or at least what appears to be the whole entire photo, and it looks like the photo is taken through the window of a car. And basically, there were two things that popped into my head first of all. Is, well, first, there's a couple of them. There's four total that are there, and three of them are far off into the distance, and one of them is really close up. And the first thing that I thought of was a manta ray or a stingray. It's kind of what it looks like. It has that long tail in the back. The second thing I thought of was somebody was trying to fly a kite. I don't really know what kind of an alien ship or anything would have a tail behind it. I mean, it almost looks like you can see the string coming out the back of it. Now, granted, I could be wrong. I don't know. It's just first assumptions. You know, everybody, we shouldn't be assuming things because it makes an ass out of you and me. But at the same time, I am going to assume things because that's kind of what it looks like. It looks like a kite. I mean, I'm sorry, if it is real, then it's a wild UFO. I don't know. Anyway, you guys go take a look at it. Draw a conclusion for yourself. Don't let me sway you. That's just my opinion. You draw the opinions for yourself. All right, well, the next thing that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of ParanormalStories.com. And they're basically talking about how Jupiter could eliminate all life on Earth. It says, the gas giant has been quiet for centuries, but two new red spots, 5 or 10 times larger than the Earth, have formed in its atmosphere over the last 3 years. Pravda reports that if something goes wrong with Jupiter's thermonuclear reactions, it may explode, a catastrophic event which could destroy every living organism on Earth. And that's not all that's keeping scientists awake at night. Mysterious phenomena have been taking place on one of Jupiter's largest moons as well. Europa's ice-heavy pole shifted 90 degrees last May, exchanging places with its equator. But it gets worse. St. Petersburg-based scientist Edward Drobyshevsky said that Jupiter's other giant moon, Callisto, may be a threat to human existence as well. Since Callisto's shell has never exploded like others have in the past, Drobyshevsky believes that it may do so soon, and such an explosion would carry massive pieces of ice to fall down to Earth, exterminating all life. And Drobyshevsky warned that the explosion of its shell would lead to nuclear winters on Earth. It will be a horrible disaster for the biosphere. Now, there's quite a bit more to this article. They go on talking about Jupiter and, you know, all the stuff about it and some of its moons. And there shows a lot of really cool pictures of some of the stuff that going on, that's going on out there. But I had to include this in there because I think it's interesting that you could theorize that a moon blowing up at Jupiter could possibly have pieces of it escape the gravitational pull of Jupiter long enough to hit Earth. Now, Jupiter and Saturn, from what I understand, if I know astronomy at least any bit whatsoever, they basically suck in stuff that's really big, you know, like asteroids and comets and things like that. They suck that stuff in. Their gravitational pull is so strong that they can pull that stuff to them. Now, do you think it's possible that the stuff from this icy moon, Europa, blowing up could, or Callisto blowing up, could destroy all life on Earth by having pieces of it reach this planet? I mean, I don't know. That's a really long way. I don't have the numbers in front of me as to the exact distance between Earth and Jupiter, but I know it's a really long way. And if Jupiter has quite the gravitational pull, would it be possible for that stuff to escape the pull of Jupiter to make it to Earth? I mean, if it was able to make it to Earth, would it really have that much of an effect? I mean, I'm sure it would. I mean, sure, there's big pieces of it that would come flying this way, but wouldn't you have to have it perfect timing as far as where the Earth is in relation to where Jupiter and its moon is in the solar system at the time of the explosion for it to make it to the Earth? Wouldn't you have to have them in the perfect spots? I mean, I think the odds would be a little too high for it to just randomly happen, you know, and it be the right trajectory for these pieces to come out and hit the Earth. I mean, if the planet was on the wrong side of Jupiter when it exploded, wouldn't the pieces get sucked back into Jupiter before they made it all the way to Earth? Anyway, I don't know if anybody out there, if we got any scientists or astronomers listening that can set me straight, please shoot me an email, give me a call, something along those lines. I'd love to hear what you have to say. But anyway, you guys go check it out. There's a lot more to this article. I'll post a link up to it, and you can let me know what you think. All right, well, this next article that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of Yahoo.com. And it's a video of a cemetery in Orange, Texas that was pretty badly messed up from Hurricane Ike. Now, the video that you're going to see, for anybody out there who doesn't like to see kind of, I mean, it's not gruesome in any way or anything like that, but it is a bit disturbing. If you don't want to go watch it, don't, or just fast forward, because I'm going to explain what the video is. The video, again, is courtesy of Yahoo.com, and basically what happened was when Hurricane Ike came through, it flooded the cemetery, more or less. and a lot of the graves, the caskets came to the surface and are more or less floating around. And you'll see caskets just sitting there. I mean, completely washed off. They look clean for the most part, as clean as a casket can get. It's just really weird to know that a hurricane can bring up caskets like that. I mean, has it got something to do with just the way the dirt was, maybe? I mean, I don't think the force of the hurricane could possibly drive them out of the ground. I mean, I guess it's a combination of maybe just real loose dirt and a lot of water. I mean, maybe that's it. But they came to the surface. It's really wild. I mean, it's just interesting to see. I won't spend much more time on it. You guys go watch the video. Basically, they explain what happened. It's interesting, to say the least. And so anyway, you guys go check it out and let me know what you think. Well, this next section of the show that I wanted to talk about is for Lili Mama. It's going to be on Shadow People. And this first one is a Wikipedia. It says, Shadow People, also known as Shadow Men, Shadow Folk, or Shadow Beings, are supernatural shadow-like creatures of both modern folklore and traditional Native American beliefs. According to folklore, they appear as dark forms in the peripheries of people's visions and disintegrate or move between walls when noticed. It says reports of shadow people occupy a similar position in their popular consciousness to ghost sightings, but differ in that shadow people are not reported as having human features, wearing modern or period clothing, or attempting to communicate. Witnesses also do not report the same feelings of being in the presence of something that was once human. Some individuals have described being menaced, chased, or in some rare instances, attacked by shadow people. There have also been reports of shadow people appearing in front of witnesses, of which they say stay there, or lingering for several seconds before disappearing. Witnesses report that encounters are typically accompanied by a feeling of dread. Lili Mama has asked that I talk about shadow people, and I want to, and I want to tell you about an experience that I had not too long ago, but I'm going to go through this a little bit more. This wiki article also says that accounts of shadow people typically describe them as being black humanoid silhouettes with no discernible mouths, noses, or facial expressions, though accounts also exist of them being child-sized humanoids or shapeless masses that sometimes change to a more human-like form. The eyes are usually not described as being discernible, but in some reports glowing eyes are mentioned. The color of the eyes, if any, is typically given as red. Their specific form is described variously as a two-dimensional shadow to a vaporous or distorted three-dimensional body. Movement is often described as being very quick and disjointed. Some witnesses describe their movement as though the shadow people entities they have seen danced from one wall to the next, or moving around the room as if they were on a specific track. Rarely they are seen standing in the middle of doorways or off the wall. Often they are described as being seen staring at the floor. Some accounts describe what appear to be the outline of a cloak, or in some instances the outline of a 1930s-style fedora hat. This last type is referred to as the Hat Man. Now, I don't know if you guys can hear that or not. I've had a lot of those big Chinook helicopters flying over lately. I know I told you before I got a lot of helicopters flying over, but there's been a lot of them lately. Anyway, we'll keep on going here. To get back on track, we're all talking about shadow people, for those of you who are, you know, kind of like me, sometimes you aren't paying attention. But anyway, I had a weird experience the other night. Or actually, I'm sorry, it was the other morning. I get up around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work every day, and I usually stop by this one store in the morning, get gas, get something to drink, that type of thing, some coffee or whatever. And I'm walking back outside, and it's one of those places where you don't really have to touch the door on your way in and out. It kind of opens and closes. Like at a grocery store, we have that automatic door opening thing where the door just slides out of your way. On either side of the sliding door are two manual doors that you have to open yourself. I went through the one to the right. I kind of was counting my money, putting my stuff up, you know, getting them all stuffed together, grabbing my keys, that type of thing, as I was pushing through the door. And out of the corner of my eye on to the left, I noticed a black figure that seemed to be, you know, like a person coming up onto to me from the side. I didn't think enough about it to actually look at the person. I just decided to hold the door for him. So I was holding the door with my right hand, because the door opened up to the right. With my right hand, I held the door, and I spun myself around clockwise to the right and held the door with my left hand. You know, switched hands, so I held the door with my left hand. Then I looked up, and there was no one there. Now, whenever I saw this figure off to my left, it seemed to me as if it was moving, because it seemed like it was coming closer to me, like somebody walking at you. But whenever I turned around, there was nobody there. Now, whether or not it was a figment of my imagination, or whether or not it was just lights playing an eye or playing a trick on my eye, or whatever it was, I thought it was real at that time. Now, that leads me to wonder if what you see, regardless of whether or not anybody else is able to see it, does that mean that it really was real because it was real to you? Well, to me, yeah. If it's real to you, then it's real, because everybody's reality is slightly different because of the things you do every day. But anyway, I thought it was a wild story. I had to tell you guys. This next story that I want to talk about is another shadow person story, and it's courtesy of yourghoststories.com, and it's a kind of an account of something that happened to someone, so it's going to be in first person, and I'll go ahead and read that for you. It says, every night when I get into my room to go to sleep, I will always find something that I keep on the top shelf sitting in the middle of my bed. After I put it away and lay down, I'll start hearing what sounds like whispers. I can never really tell what they're saying, but every now and again I hear my name mentioned, like a group of people are talking about me or something. I have a habit of lifting my head slightly and opening my eyes just a little bit, just to check and make sure nobody is standing there. And I will always see four shadowed figures at the end of the bed staring at me. If I try to open my eyes all the way and stare at them head on, they disappear. I learned to watch them out of the corner of my eye. They continue speaking and looking at me like they were trying to decide what to do. At this point, I usually get a really bad feeling that whatever they decide isn't going to be in my best interest. But I make myself lay there and wait, thinking every night, maybe something will change. When they seem to make up their minds, the one standing directly opposite to me will reach out and grab my ankles. And yes, I can feel hands gripping me. Then I feel the shadow start to pull me down the bed towards it, and when another shadowed figure, who I can never notice beforehand, no matter how hard I try, suddenly will lean over me and start to whisper angrily at them. They always let me go, and they always disappear after that. If anybody has any idea what this person should do or whatever the things might be, you know, you can go to this site and let them know. At least you should be able to. I think there's a comment section that, you know, you can comment on to let them know what you think. But I thought it was an interesting story that you can't see them, that you can see them out of the corner of your eye, and when you look at them directly, there's nobody there. There's nothing there. They just poof, gone. They just disappear, fade away. But to, you know, to be able to feel those cold, creepy hands grab your ankles and start pulling you down the bed, that was just, I mean, that would start to freak me out after a while. I'm sorry, that would just start to make the skin on your neck crawl. A few other stories that are like this one that I'm going to post along with that story, so you can go and read them on your own, so you can actually have something to read. But the next thing that I wanted to talk about, it has to do with shadow people as well. And it's a video by Stephen Hawking. Now, it's not actually a video. It's a YouTube video. So it's courtesy of YouTube.com. Watch the video. You can sit there and listen to it, scroll around on other pages to, you know, keep yourself busy and go to Google or whatever. Just listen to it because there's nothing really to see. They have like just a picture there for you to look at the whole time. So it's more of an audio video, if that makes any sense. Anyway, Stephen Hawking basically talks about ghosts and the universe and shadow people. And I thought it was really interesting. It's maybe 7 minutes long, a little less than 7 minutes. A really interesting video to listen to. I'll post a link up to it so you guys can find it on YouTube. And I'll actually embed the video into this posting so you guys can go to the 13skulls.com and watch it from there if you want to. Now, this next video I thought was fascinating. I really did. I thought this video was just awesome, so I had to put it into the show. Although it seems a bit fake, bit Blair Witchish, I still thought it was an interesting video. And it's a Shadow People video from 1997 in Emerson. Anyway, you guys have got to go take a look at this video. I really thought it was interesting. And basically, here it is. For those of you who can't seem to get to a computer quick enough and you want to know what the video is. Basically, the reason I say that it's kind of Blair Witchish is that supposedly the videotape was found by a couple of hikers and they took it and gave it to the police or whatever, and they watched the video and found out what happened to these people. The video is kind of grainy, kind of that night vision look, but during the day, it's kind of real grainy. It's kind of hard to see anything really, and you don't see the people. All you can hear him walking, you can hear him breathing, you can occasionally hear him say something, and then you can, now they kind of stop and they focus in, they zoom in on this what appears at first to be nothing but a tree. Then you see this figure move, and it starts to like flow across the screen like it's moving through the woods. And then it cuts to another part where you just see what looks like to be the trees. There's nothing really there. And then you see this figure move. And then you see it move again. And then if you can kind of watch it right, it almost looks like the creature, the shadow person, whatever it is like charging at them. These people take off running and take off running here and breathing. You hear this thing go, like it's really weird. You guys, I don't know what it is. I mean, it could have been Photoshopped. Now, the shadow person, the best way I can describe it is that it looks like, for any of you who have seen the movie Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger in there, you know the way the Predator turns invisible? If he's standing still, you can't see him, but if he moves, you can see that distorted, clear view, kind of like a heat wave, that kind of thing. You can see that movement. That's kind of what it looks like that. It's really wild. These guys, like I said, I'll post a link up to it so you can watch it on. It's a Google video. That one was courtesy of video.google.com. And I will post a link up to it so you can watch it on Google. And I'll embed the video as well so you can watch it on the 13skulls.com if you want to. It's just a really interesting video. Go take a look at it. Go read the ghost stories, the shadow people stories from you know the other site. Watch the Stephen Hawking video. You know, I'll post a link up to everything that I've talked about so you guys, you know, you can get your fill of the paranormal. Now the next thing that I wanted to do was let you listen to a call in that I got from Lily Mama. Now, Lily Mama, for those of you who don't know, has called into the show previous times before with some just great stories. And I have to say that I love Lily Mama. She's one of the best people that I've ever been able to talk to. She's just a great person. But anyway, I'll shut up and let you listen to what Lily Mama had to say.
Hey, TJ. Lily Mama here. I just wanted to stop by and share a very personal experience with you and your listeners. Basically, it's about my mom, and it's a very, like I said, a very personal but paranormal experience. My mom passed away about 3 years ago, and every now and then I go through her a bag or a box of her stuff because, you know, I was only her only child, and I was responsible for cleaning out her apartment when she passed, and her only other surviving relative is my auntie, and she's like 78 years old, and she, you know, couldn't handle any of the business. Anyway, what prompted me to call was that I came across a picture of my mom and my dad holding me being an 8-month-old in front of a Christmas tree in the winter of 1970, and my God, my mommy was gorgeous. She was absolutely stunning. Needless to say, seeing her in that blue dress reminded me of the dream that is very, very personal, but I thought was also very profound, and I think it probably saved my life. For the people that don't know about my mom, about 3 years ago, 5 days before my birthday, I found my mom face down in her bedroom floor, and I now figured out the reason why she didn't answer my phone call for 3 days. And I remember that week, it was really, really busy at work, so I didn't really call her every day like I was supposed to, and I didn't really get to go visit her. So needless to say, by the odor in the room and so on and so forth, I knew she had passed. And you can only imagine the the shock, the horror, the grief that overtook me. And had my husband come and, help me with a horrible situation and so on and so forth. It also didn't help that I had a message on my cell phone that I never got to answer with her whispering, like, scratchy voice saying, Leanne, help me. So that was really tough. I agonized over that for a little bit. But the reason I'm sharing that part with you is so you could understand my extreme grief and how I felt tormented, because I felt that it was my fault that she passed, which I'm getting over little by little. Fast forward 5 days. You can imagine that now here I am on my birthday. Insult to injury, now I have to bury her on my birthday. And I never got to say goodbye. And I never got to know how she passed. Fast forward about a month after that, still upset, still grieving. For an entire month, I could not sleep for more than two or three hours at night. And it was causing me to lose work and cry constantly. And I seriously, seriously considered ending it all. I did not want to live anymore. I considered I had nothing to live. It was my fault she passed. So then one night, it was about the first time since she passed, I had a dream of my mom. And in the dream, she was very happy and healthy and smiling. And, understand that she had a number of health problems. She had bad back, arthritis, neuropathy. She broke her hip twice. She drank. She smoked. She looked 30 years older than what she was. She wasn't the healthiest looking person. So the other thing I came across, besides that picture of me being 8 months old in 1970, was a journal. And I wrote about this dream in the journal, and I'd like to read it to your listeners. Tuesday, July 12th, 2005, I had a dream of my mommy last night. And I remember seeing mommy. She was very happy. She gained some weight. She was about 115 pounds when she passed away. But in this dream, she was about 140, 150 pounds. Her face was so full, and she wasn't like gauntly like before. She looked so healthy, and she was jumping up and down, and she was laughing. And I don't remember what she was saying, but I hugged her. I hugged her lots of times. And I think I was even laughing and jumping with her. And I don't remember where we were, but I remember it was either really a brightly lit room or if it was outside. Then I remember sadly thinking that this was too good to be true, that I must be dreaming. Usually, when I know that I'm dreaming, I'm excited about it because I can control the dreams sometimes. But this was different. So I slapped my own face a few times. I kept saying, this must be a dream. But only on the last slap, my hand slowed down and it didn't hurt at all. Then I said, I'm dreaming. Mommy, this is a dream. I know it's not real. Mommy, you're supposed to be dead. And she still seemed, her now happy, healthy self, but she stopped laughing and she just smiled peacefully. She was so pretty. Couldn't get over how pretty she was now. Her hair was full and golden, golden blonde. I could sense that she had no aches, no pains, no sickness of any sort in her body and mind. She just smiled and said, okay. I said, Mommy, you need to lay down. And you have to go to sleep. You're supposed to be dead. She said, okay, but can you lay down next to me? I said, yes. And before I knew it, we were in my bed, my bedroom. She often slept over my house when she was living, and we slept in the same bed. She laid to the right of me, and I can remember seeing the sun shining through a little bit of the shade through the window. She smiled and laid close to me. "You go seepy-seepies now, okay?" She used to say this to me when I was a child, and it carried over from when I slept over her house when I was an adult after her second husband died. "Okay, Mommy," I said. I pretended to sleep by just closing my eyes. She had some flowers in her hand, some cobalt blue sort of little flowers, three different kinds with the flowers no bigger than a nickel. She held them over my face, and I squinted so I could see them, but I pretended to be sleeping. I remember that the middle one was a little bit longer than the others. As I closed my eyes, I felt a tickle on my cheek. Finally, I opened my eyes and said, "Mommy, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm kissing your face with the flowers to help you to sleep. You need to sleep. So I woke. When you wake up, you would have them. Don't they smell pretty?" She then kissed my forehead and my head like she always did. And I leaned over and we hugged. And I said, "I love you, Mommy. I'm so glad I got to see you again. I wish you didn't have to go." She just smiled. And I closed my eyes and I savored the moment. In a moment's time, she was gone. At the same time, I seemed to have woke from my dream. And I was laying on my side, and I was looking at the bureau mirror and saw a faint white ghostly-like figure walking away from me. And into the light, coming from a small slit between the window and the curtain, I remember letting out a small yell, but then feeling an overwhelming sense of comfort, gratefulness, and closure. I can honestly say that because my mom knew about the dark shadow experiences that I had, and it was about from 15 years ago, that she didn't want to scare me, and that visiting and comforting me in a dream and allowing me to see her go into the light helped me to move on. And to this day, I know that I try not to dwell on how she passed, because it is more important to have comfort of knowing that she loved me so much that she came back to help me move on and help me to sleep better. I'm sorry. You know, some people might offer different opinions about if it was a dream or not and if it was really her or not. But quite honestly, TJ, you know, growing up Christian, I was always told that you should never talk to ghosts or spirits, and you should test the spirits, make sure that they're not demons, and that demons and spirits could look like the loved ones, gain your trust, and then they can do harm to you in some way. But for the most part, I do believe a lot of that. However, I've seen and experienced too many paranormal things in my life to follow that so, so blindly. And I can remember having a conversation with my mom when she was alive, about her deceased second husband, and he had terminal cancer, and she basically told him, "Please, you know, I know you're, lack of a better word, you're waiting to die, but, you know, please, whatever you do, if you come back to visit me, don't scare me. Maybe come back in a dream or something." And I'm thinking that maybe, you know, when we had our conversations, you know, that I don't remember, but maybe we shared that same thing, that she wouldn't want to scare me. And I do believe that even though some people say that the Bible says that, you know, people can not come back as ghosts, when they pass on, but that's what the paranormal is all about. We don't know all the answers. And the people that do really read the Bible, they do know of one person that did come back. And I do believe it's her. It was her. And I do believe that she came back to basically save my life. And whether people believe me or not doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that I'm better now, moving on now. And I got a very, very special experience with my mommy. And I got to say goodbye, which a lot of people don't have that blessing. And I got blessed that way. So that's my experience. And again, I love you all out there. And I love TJ a lot. He's always there for us and helping us, and he lets us share these sometimes very painful experiences. But But again, like I said before, and I'll keep saying it, it's very, very therapeutic. So thank you very much, TJ. Really appreciate you, brother. Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, thank you, Lily Mama, so much for sending that in. And I want you to know that I personally do not, I know your full story. I don't know your life. I don't know you very, very personally, but I'm pretty sure that you were not the cause for that. That you should not feel any blame. You should not, you know, in any way, shape, or form find yourself, you know, feeling guilty in any way, shape, or form. If I think it was your fault, then you wouldn't have had the opportunity to say goodbye. You wouldn't have been able to lay down with your mom, to hug her, to say goodbye, to get that last moment. And you're an extremely, extremely lucky person to have been able to experience that, to be able to say goodbye. Now, regardless of whether anybody says that your experience was real, or if it was a dream, or if it was anything other than what you think it was, then, you know, they don't really matter. Their opinions don't really matter. And I could tell from the way you were talking about it that it had some effect on who you are and how you treat things and how you react to stuff and how you do things. And for that to happen, in my opinion, means that that experience that you had with that last moment of with your mom was the most real thing that you could ever experience. And I greatly thank you and appreciate you for sending that in and sharing that with us. For the rest of you out there, if you have any experiences like that, please do send them in. I would love to hear about them. And it's not only therapeutic for you, Lily Mama, but it's therapeutic for all of us to be able to hear and be able to at least in some way empathize with the way that of what you're experiencing. We can put ourselves in your shoes by hearing the emotion that's in your voice, to hearing how much it affected you. But anyway, I know I'm blabbering on here. I love to hear other people's experiences, their stories, things like that. If you really want to, please share them. I would love to have more call-ins, more emails. Please send them in. If you want, record it yourself and email it to me as an MP3 or WAV file or anything like that.
Spider went up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sunshine
Please,
and dried
no.
up all
no.
the rain. And the itty bitty spider went up the spout again.
Notes from the Vault, a short fiction collection by Phil Rossi, featuring all new Crescent vignettes, as well as other stories. Visit www.crescentstation.net for details. In 2007, he scared you. In 2008, Phil Rossi will drive you insane.
Oh, no.
All right, you guys, I hate to say that I'm going to have to draw the show to a close. I really appreciate everybody coming out and listening to the show, all the downloads, all the new people out there. Thank you very much for coming in and listening to the show. I wanted to say that if you want, search the forums, things like that. Go to the 13skullspodcast.ning.com. There's a link on the right sidebar of the 13skulls.com. There's all kinds of forums, articles being posted. We're about 60 members now. We're growing slowly. Please come and join the forums. Look at some of the stuff that's been posted there. A lot of interesting stuff. Thanks to Furcho for being there, for adding such great content to the site, man. It's greatly appreciated. I also want to say that there's a lot of good videos there too. Good pictures, good videos, a lot of good people. All the members there, you guys are awesome. I love you guys for participating the way that you do. Whether or not you're there or not, the fact that you wanted to become a member says a lot, and it says enough. Thank you for your patronage, 13skullspodcast.ning.com. If you feel like it, give the show a vote on Podcast Alley. If you also want to show your support by giving us a review in iTunes, I'd greatly appreciate that too. If you want, sign the Frapper map. I'd love to know where you're listening from, wherever it may be. If it's in my backyard, if it's on the other side of the world, sign the Frapper map. I'd love to see it. If you want to write the show, give me an email. It's the13skulls@gmail.com. That's THE13SKULLS@gmail.com. If you want, give us a phone call. It's 206-338-2205, or here in the DFW area, which anybody can call. It's just a DFW number. It's 817-986-0019. If you like the music that's in the show, it is courtesy of the IOTA PromoNet at www.iotaalliance.com. There are links to download any of the songs that you hear in any of the episodes, new segments, whatever. If you want to download them, go right ahead. They're right there on the 13skulls.com to download the song. If you want to buy them, there's links to the IOTA Alliance that you can go and buy all the music that you please. So, but if you like it, please support it. I really want to get independent music out there. I think it's the best kind that we could have. Also wanted to give a shout out to the guys out at Erie Radio. Love you guys. You're awesome. Also want to say hey to the Doomcast clan. You guys are awesome. Love you. Hope the hurricanes didn't bother you too much. Love your show, guys. Keep it up. If you want to hear anything good from the paranormal, go to erieradio.com. They have some great interviews on there. Doomcast, man, if you have any interest in gaming whatsoever, you need to listen to this show. If you want to find out anything new coming out in video games, movies, comics, anything like that, visit jeremyball.com. That's jeremybaugh.com. He's got a lot of new info all the time coming in about old games, new videos, comics, movies, reviews, everything. Go there. It's a great place. But anyway, you guys, if I'm missing anybody, I apologize for it. You guys have a great day, night, week, weekend, whatever it is that you're listening to the show. And as always, I will talk to you guys again, hopefully soon, on another day.